Good to be here this morning. Good to be with you. If you have your Bibles and you want to open to the book of Jonah, I'm going to read to you from that book. Beginning at the first verse of the first chapter. Now the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare thereof and went down unto and go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah. But Jehovah sent out a great wind upon the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship was taken and broken. And when the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and they cast forth the wares that were on the ship into the sea to lighten it unto them. But Jonah was gone down into the innermost parts of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so to be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said, "Every one to their fellow has come. Let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us." And so they cast lot, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then Jonah said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And what part art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah, the God of heaven, who hath made sea and dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "What is this that thou hast done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of Jehovah because he had told them so. Let's pray together. Father God, as we worship you this morning and as we think about your word and what you have written and the message that you have to us, not only from the book of Jonah, but from every word, from the first word in Genesis to the last word of Revelation, that you speak to our hearts, that you speak to our lives, that thy name may be glorified as we live in this time, in this place, in this city. In Jesus' name, amen. On June the 5th, 2013, the tugboat Rascon 4 left harbor off the coast of Nigeria, towing a tanker boat towards an oil derrick that was 20 miles out to sea. The sea was a little rough, but the captain really wasn't concerned about it. But all of a sudden, a rogue wave caught the Rascon 4 sideways. Harrison O'Keen was in the galley preparing breakfast. He was thrown into the officer's bathroom. He grabbed a hold of the sink as the ship turned over and began to sink down to the bottom. 100 feet down, it finally rested on the bottom of the ocean. Harrison was able to stay in the air pocket for a while in that bathroom. Finally, he decided he needed to try to find his way out. And so he began to swim from place to place in that boat. Along the way, he found some beacons and he took those and attached them. He found a life vest and he put it on. He found a bottle of Coke and he grabbed it. And he finally found his way into a room that was only about chest high in water, but was filling up. And so he's able to rip some boards off the wall and place them on top of the bunk that was there and stand on that And the water stopped rising when it got to his chest. He stayed there for he didn't know how long. He tried to just make the coke last as long as it possibly could, not knowing what was going to happen. He said he began to go through his life, remember all the events of his life, and think about his wife of 5 years. And then he began to repeat the Bible verses that he had learned as a child over and over. He had no idea how long he stood there in the water. But the coke ran out. His tongue began to swell from the salt water. His skin began to peel. He began to hear a noise. He thought maybe it was sharks eating his shipmates that he had fellowshiped with the night before. All of a sudden, a light came up out of the water. A man grabbed his hand and he grabbed the hand back and he heard the man say, "He's alive! He's alive!" He was rescued. They put an oxygen mask on him. Got him out in the water, got him into a diving bell, got him into a decompression chamber. He had stayed there for 62 hours standing in that water and that upturned boat. That's a true story. You can check it out on the internet if you want. But God has placed a better story in His Word. That's a true story. It's about a man by the name of Jonah. Jonah, the prophet, who hears the call from God to rise up from where he was and go to the great city of Nineveh. Now, in order to understand what really happened here, you have to understand that this is about just about 50 years after Israel had been taken into captivity and was now released from Babylon. And they hated foreigners. They had been mistreated terribly. And they hated foreigners. They didn't want anything to do. The only thing that Jonah wanted to see happen to Nineveh was that it was destroyed. But he knew that God was gracious. And he knew if God was calling him to go to Nineveh, God had a purpose and probably wanted to save Nineveh, and Jonah didn't want to see that happen. And so he bought passage on a ship going in the opposite direction, heading for the Spanish coast south, away from Nineveh. A storm came on that ship, tossed it to and fro, and as we read in the scripture, the people on the ship, most of them were Nigerian sailors except for the captain who was a Ukrainian, began to pray to their gods to be saved. And then the captain discovered that there was Jonah down there asleep. So they woke him up. Said, "What's going on? You need to pray to your God. Who is your God?" Jonah said, "My God is the Lord God Jehovah." And they said, "Well, you better start praying." And Jonah said, "Well, you better throw me overboard if you want to be saved." He was willing to sacrifice his life for those foreigners. You know, it's not easy to give up your life. It's not easy to sacrifice your life. It's not easy to do what Jonah did. But he had come to know those men on their ship. He knew that they had families. He knew that they had children. And he was willing to give up himself because he knew that God was doing this. And so God throws him into the sea. And a fish comes along. Now, you know, if I took a survey and asked people what they remembered about Jonah, the first thing they'd say is the whale. But the Bible never says that it was a whale. It just says it was a great fish. Jonah spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of hell, really. The belly of the whale. And then the fish, because that's what God told it to do, spits Jonah up on the shore. And God says to Jonah, okay, Jonah, I told you I wanted to go to Nineveh. Do you get the point? Now go. Now remember that Israel was spiritually depleted at this time. Jonah was a prophet speaking the word of God. He experiences the call of God, the moment of crisis. When God enters our lives, or God speaks to our lives and interrupts what we have in mind to do. We all have a mind. We all have a mind about what we want to do. But sometimes God speaks to us and interrupts our lives with what He wants us to do. And that's what happened to Jonah. It happened to a lot of people. The Apostle Paul wanted to be a Jewish scholar and teach. St. Francis of Xavier wanted to be a seminary professor. Martin Luther King wanted to be an unassuming pastor and was called to be to change a social struggle or to lead a social struggle. As for Jonah, he definitely didn't want to go to Nineveh. He hated those people. Jonah knew that God is a gracious God in verse 2 and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. So think about this. Jonah was sent to Nineveh in part to shame Israel because God had a purpose for Israel. And God wanted to show Israel that they needed to buckle down to do what He wanted them to do. I mean, after all, we're going to see that Nineveh is going to repent. But Israel didn't. Israel didn't listen. And so Jonah is a type of Messiah to Israel in his own day. So think about several things. First of all, Jonah teaches us that we can run, but we can't hide. You can run from God, but you can't hide. God's going to get you. If you're not a believer this morning, Gene and I watched The Case for Christ last night. Story about the writer from the Chicago Tribune, Lee Strobel, whose wife became a Christian, and he did everything he could to research and prove that Christianity was a hoax, a fake. And he ended up giving his life to Christ. He's a professor at Houston Baptist University now. God is real. Jonah knew that. Jonah understood that. But God calls us. God calls us. He calls us to forgive someone who's wronged us. And we run the other way, just like Jonah did. God calls us to stand in the minority for righteous causes and we run the other way because it's inconvenient. God calls us to get involved in a situation to make a real sacrifice for the good of someone else and we run the other way. God calls us to a task and we run the other way. In Jonah's case, he buys passage on a ship that's headed away from Nineveh as far as he can get. Ship was owned and operated by foreigners. But one translation says of Jonah saying, throw me into the sea, he says, because I'm the cause of the storm. The God of heaven and earth called me to Nineveh and I ran the other way. It's a lot better. It's a lot better to do what God wants you to do than to do what you want to do. Because running away from God is trouble with a capital T. So here's a second thing. Not only does God teach us that we can run, but we can't hide. He teaches us that all the people are God's people. Jonah can do this because he has gotten to know these hated foreigners on the boat. No longer are they mere abstractions to him. No longer are they menacing. No longer are they redneck whites or menacing blacks or fanatical Muslims or godless communists. And though Jonah knows the foreigners on this ship are people, now he knows that they have names and families and things. And so once again, the biblical emphasis is on the fact that God loves everybody, period. So, to do our own enemies today, do our own enemies today have names? Do they have families? Do they have lives, hopes and fears, just as we do? The humanization of the enemy encourages Jonah to offer his life for theirs. But at first, the ship's crew doesn't do what Jonah says. They start rowing. And they row and they row and they row. There's only 48 verses here in Jonah. They row and they row and they row, but they can't get. So finally, they throw Jonah overboard. It's one of the nice touches of this book is the subtle touches in the story is that the villains, the foreigners, have virtues. They tried not to have to throw Jonah overboard. But after exhausting themselves, they throw him over, and that's where the whale or the great fish comes in. One of the Bible's most moving prayers is uttered by Jonah. Jonah says, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. This is chapter 2, verse 2 and 4. He answered me, out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou didst hear my voice, for thou didst cast me into the deep and under the heart of the seas. And then I said, I am cast out from thy presence. How shall I again look upon thy holy temple? After 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah's given up. And that's when God says, hey, Jonah, told you I wanted to go to Nineveh. So we can run, but we can't hide. All people are God's people. And here's the third lesson. Jonah teaches us that God's call is, though not easy, best. God's call for what he wants us to do is not easy, but it's best for us to do. By now, Jonah is sufficiently impressed with God's persistence. Jonah goes to Nineveh. It was a great city. Jonah tells us that it would take him 3 days to walk across the city. It's a good-sized city. Most kings, most premiers, most prime ministers, most presidents would not believe Jonah. Most leaders are national cheerleaders for God, and they deem that God is on their side. They don't believe that God would doom their nation. Of course, that's true of the average person also. In our own country, for example, see what happens when a preacher or a political candidate dares to suggest that America may have some fundamental moral flaws. That God may not be on our side, but instead is on the side of justice and righteousness and peace. What happens when a political candidate dares to stand up for God and call on a country to repent? But long ago, the mighty Nineveh listened to Jonah. The king calls on the people to repent. He calls for a period of fasting for all the people, not only the people, but the animals. He calls everybody to fast in the name of the Lord God, Jehovah. And Nineveh repents. That was a bitter pill for Jonah. He wanted Nineveh to be destroyed because they were his enemies. How important was this, though? How important is this story of Jonah to us? Well, it was important enough for Jesus to employ Jonah as a type of Messiah, using Jonah's 3 days in the belly of the great fish to foretell of his own resurrection in Matthew 12 and also in the book of Mark. So that's the story of Jonah, a whale of a tale. But there are some other things in this book. So let me just suggest a few more things. This story is about tolerance and understanding. It says that God is the God of all people, that God loves Nineveh as much as Jerusalem, Moscow, as much as Middle America. So who are the people, even the individuals that we don't like? You see, even though we don't like them, God loves them. God cares about them. Can you see that it is important for us to understand that God loves all people? Another thing is, the story is about saying yes to God. I don't know what God's calling you to do. I never expected to live as long as I've lived. I never expected to do the things. I grew up, as I've told you before, in a non-Christian home. It was never on my radar to become a minister, a pastor. But God called. God called. The story is about saying yes to God's call. It may be that God's just calling you to go to your neighbor and invite him to church. Get in a conversation with him about the Lord. It may be that God's calling you to talk to somebody that you work with, somebody that you're friends with. Whatever that call is, you need to say yes to God. You can run, but you can't hide. The third thing is, the story is about spiritual humility. Jonah learned it the hard way. I'm not in charge. God's in charge. We have to recognize that on a regular basis. On a daily basis. What does God want me to do today? What does God want me to do tomorrow? Spiritual humility says, I'm not in charge. God is in charge. Remember, Matthew 5:3 says that Jesus called humility a blessed thing in life. And finally, the story says something important about the nature of God. After making us see how we fail to answer God's call and in fact run away, the story says that God is a merciful God, that he forgives us, that he calls us again. What he wanted to do was to spare the great city of Nineveh of the consequences of their evil ways. It was the beginning. So it was now God's day for them. God will let us flee and fail. God will let us be like Jonah once, twice, even 7 times 70. And then God will call us back again. You know, if you've strayed from God, God's calling you back again. Praise God for his forgiveness. Praise God for his mercy in that. God knows how hard it is for us to put ourselves aside and do his will. His son was able to put himself aside and do God's will by dying on the cross. Jonah did it, and so can we. Jonah grew to do it, and so can we. By God's patient love, we can enter our Nineveh today. Not with fear and loathing, but with faith and steadfast courage. By God's patient love, we can go to our Ninevehs and emerge as more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Remember every day, that God loves you. Let's pray together. As our heads are bowed, I want to ask you this morning, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life? Have you ever come to that point where you've said, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need to be saved. And I want to invite you into my life to be my Lord and to be my Savior. It's a simple prayer of doing what God wants you to do, what God is calling you to do, what your heart wants you to do. But maybe you're here this morning and you've strayed from God. And God is calling you back. God's saying, confess you're wrong. Admit your mistake. And come back and walk with me. Maybe you're here this morning and God's put you in this place, in this church, to be a part of this church. And you can do that. You can do that. Father God, it's such a humbling thing to stand in your presence, to speak on your behalf. And Father, I just pray this morning that whatever our needs are, whatever anybody's needs are, whatever any person's needs are, that they'll open their hearts and let you help them, let you guide them through those needs, let you give them the courage, let you give them the faith, let you give them the love that they need to walk through the things that you have, the things that they have in their life. And that they can find you, even in the darkness, on the darkest day, the most difficult situation. Father, forgive us where we fail you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.